The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Father, you know, my prayer is that you move your servant out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Thank you for the blessing of your word today. May we never be the same, because we will be in your word. We want to hear from you through your word. Teach us that others may be taught. Those of us who need comfort, I pray you comfort us. And those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say.
Praise God.
John chapter 13. John 13 does not give you the full picture of everything that's going on. So you have to have a study of the four gospels to get the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. The complete truth. The last night before Christ is crucified, these guys are a trip. His disciples is off the hook. Now, he's telling them, you know, this is my last night. I'm going to suffer. I got to go. They're going, well, where you going? He says, well, I got to leave so that I can send the comforter, the other comforter to you. And they have a big argument breaks out about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Now, I just want to ask you, how would you feel if you were Jesus? You got 12 disciples. One never believed. The other 11 didn't get it. And they are arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Would you feel like you were successful? The greatest teacher in all times in all the world, who had his closest men to him, didn't get it in 3 years. Sometimes it is a comfort to me to be around for 20-some years and people not get it. Because I'm not the greatest teacher in the world. I'm not perfect. Far from it. But it's a little comfort of knowing that people you can tell the truth to, and if they don't want to get it, they're not going to get it. If they don't want to believe it, they're not going to believe it. And if they don't want to live it, they're certainly not going to live it. So my biggest desire is to make sure when I get before Christ, the words I hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. You did it. You taught it. Now, when they get here, I got to deal with them personally. And that's where we are in John 13. Now, we're going to do some, juxtapositional comparisons. We're going to put some parallels together out of John 13 and Luke 22. John 13 and Luke 22, of course, is talking about the same night. So if you really want to know what's going on, and you really want to know why I believe Peter changed his mind from, you're not going to wash my feet, to wash my whole body. Now, that's got to be something that took place, amen, that made him move from that. Now, it could be just what Jesus was saying, or it could be what Jesus was saying is going to happen. So let's look at verse 1, John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, I don't know if you understand that statement, but that is a great statement. That is a lot to understand and hear, because he didn't love them to the end because they was easy to love. He loved them to the end because of who he was. And the things they did and the things they said and the way they did it was absolutely amazing how tough it was to love them. Go to Luke chapter 22. Now keep your finger between John 13 and Luke 22. because we're going to be going back and forth in these two chapters. Okay, you got it? Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, according to verse 14 of Luke 22, and verse 1 of John 13, is this the same night? Okay, that response is good at times. Okay. So we want to make sure we're on the same page. This is the same night. Okay. Now, during that same night, over there in Luke 22, they break out a big argument about who's going to be the greatest. I don't know. What do you think, Mark? Well, how would you feel if we're sitting at the meeting and we're all talking about it's time for us to go and everybody on staff starts arguing about who's going to be number one?
After we go.
Would you feel great about that?
Well, we would have left and packed our bags and started over.
Mark said we would have left our bags and started over long before we got there. Oh, man, that just blows my mind. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Verse 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye should not be so. Evidently, they didn't believe that. Verse 2, John 13. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying my best to just let this soak in what's going on at the Last Supper. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rised up from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but you will know later. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash not your feet, you have no part in me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now, if you just looked at John, you would think that Peter heard from Jesus and that he changed his mind because of what Jesus said, that you got to be a part of me. And I got to wash your feet if you want me to be your leader. Amen?
Amen.
Now, between verse 8 and 9, I think there's a lot of other conversation that's going on. Would you like to see what I think the conversation is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's see if we can figure that out. Go to Luke chapter 22. Give me an amen or praise the Lord when you get over there.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Now, in John chapter 13, we're in Luke 22 right now, but in John chapter 13, the reason why Jesus gets up to wash their feet is to prove to them, don't be arguing about who's the greatest. The greatest should be the server. The one that is master should be the one that is the greatest servant. The one that's the leader should be the greatest follower. And since I am the master, and sure enough, I am master, he says, I'm going to show you by serving you. That's the purpose of getting up. Now, Peter is probably a little upset about allowing himself to get caught up in this argument about who's the greatest. Now, here comes Jesus, going to wash his feet and serve him. And he goes, I should be doing that to you. All right, verse 31, Luke 22. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. that he may sift you as wheat. You're not going to wash my feet. Simon, I got to wash your feet because Satan has asked permission to whip up on you a little bit. Now, Peter hears that Satan has asked for permission to sift him. Do you see why all of a sudden Peter would say, don't just wash my feet? Wash my whole body. Are we on the same page now? Okay, now. I don't know. Most of you probably already knew this. You just didn't write and tell me you knew that. So I could skip over not having to preach about it. Now, Satan has asked permission to sift you. Now, the good news is Satan can't bother us without permission. Without God's permission, Satan can't touch us. That's the good news. The bad news is God gives him permission. Verse 32, but I have prayed for you. Oh, really? Could you just stop them from messing with me? Oh, come on, you Christians out there, talk to me. You know, you've been going through something, you thought, am I that hard-headed that I got to go through this to learn the lesson? God, could you just have told me? Oh, but I prayed for you. Lord, if you don't let me, if you didn't put me through this, you wouldn't have to pray for me. We want the easy way out, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Come on, talk to me.
Yes,
talk to the master. Yeah. But you know as well as I do, we don't learn a lot of time. Is that some sifting is not present? Mm-hmm. Anybody know what sifting is?
Yes, sir.
You sift wheat.
Yes, sir.
Flour. Mm-hmm. I'm getting into cooking right now, so I'm learning all this stuff. Man, I'm messing up some herbs, boy. I'm herbing it up on Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm not talking about the. Okay, I'm kind of herb. No. And any one of y'all who let your mind go there, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Talking about cooking spices. You sift, you get rid of what you don't want. The impurities.
Yes, sir.
The lumps.
The lumps, there we go.
Can I?
Yes, sir.
And God says, some of us can't learn without the lumps. And so he lets us get lumps and then he has to sift us out. So he says, Satan, here's Peter. Peter, your sifter. Now, what's the difference between Satan sifting you and God wanting you sifted? Christians? What's the difference between Satan sifting you and God wanting him to sift you?
God's control.
God's control? Yeah, we know he's in control, but he's sifting still hurts, right?
No, always hurts.
Sifting always hurts. So what's Satan wants to sift you, and he wants to sift all the good out, so only the bad's left. God wants you sifted so that all the bad is sifted out and only the good is left. So God allows Satan to do all the work to accomplish his purpose in you. Now, if you was Peter and hearing this, would you change your mind about what you want washed?
Oh, yes.
And just think about it. It has more to do with what Satan is going to take him through than just the fact of Jesus Christ saying, I need to wash your feet. Verse 32, but I have prayed for you that thy faith won't fail. Woo! Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you're going to let me get sifted so bad that you got to pray that my faith don't fail? Anybody excited about this sifting process?
No, sir.
And when you are converted, woo, that's a strong word for a disciple. When I allow Satan to get through with you, you're going to be converted. You're going to be different than you were. And listen to what he says. Strengthen your brothers. In other words, if you're over here arguing about who's the greatest, you have missed all my teaching. You're worried about leading instead of serving. I'm going to let Satan sift that out of you. And when he gets through, then you're going to know how to serve your brothers and strengthen them instead of you wanting your brothers to serve you. Now, can anyone in here understand a little bit why Peter changed his mind about what he won't wash? You're looking at me like you don't understand what I'm saying. Verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death. He said, really? Peter, you the man. You are ready to go. I'm ready to go. I am God, Peter. I know a little bit about the future. So I just want to tell you, you just boasted. Before tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. You're going to even say you don't even know me. Wash all of me. Wash every bit of me. No, I only need to wash your feet. That'll be good enough. Can you see the conversation between verse 8 and verse 9 and John 13 now? Verse 35, Luke 22. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and bag and shoes, did you lack anything? They said, oh, no, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that has a purse, take it. Likewise, you got a bag, keep it. If you don't have any sword, sell something to get one. Can't hear you. Is Jesus passive? Is passivity a part of Christ when it comes to really protecting Christians and your family? Does Jesus want us to be passive when it comes to protecting his bride? Can't hear you, church. If you don't have a sword, I'm leaving. You better go get one. Check this out. I love this. Because Peter's right in the middle of something that you're going to find out here in a minute. We got 3 or 4 chapters. Could take us a while. We'll find out several months. How about that, y'all? Verse 36. Then said he unto them, but now he that has a purse, take it. Bag, take it. If you don't have a sword, sell something, buy one. For I say unto you that it is written that everything in me must be accomplished, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have a fulfillment. And they said, Lord, behold, here are 2 swords. And he said unto them, that's enough. Isn't it amazing that some of those disciples been carrying swords for 3 years? Who do you think was one of the guys that was carrying the sword? The little rock, the tiny stone. Peter, my boy. Where do you think he got that sword from when he cut Malchus' ear off? In the garden, the night they was praying. And I still don't understand that one. Can I have an amen? I don't care how dark it is. Boy get his ear cut off, falls on the ground. Jesus picks it up, put it back on. And the soldiers still want to arrest him. There's something missing. There's some blindness there somewhere. And did Peter go to cut that boy's ear off? He went to split his head in half, yeah. He was going He went to kill him. He wasn't just trying to get an ear. Peter, Satan has decided to sift you. Guess what? I said it's okay. How many feeling like he's getting a little sifting? How many of you understand that God told Satan it's okay to sift you? How many of you can rejoice in the sifting because you know what it's going to produce in you? A little shaky. Brother says, I don't know about it. It's true though, isn't it? It's true. I mean, man, we got to start looking at what God wants to do in our lives, and he says, yoo-hoo, Satan, come on. He needs it. And why do I always say he needs it? She needs it. Yeah. Can I have an amen, sisters in the Lord? Look at that. That was a low amen right there, boy. Don't want to jump on that one, do you, girls? Come on over here. Let me sift you. Verse 9, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whoo, after hearing all that, I want you to wash my hands, my feet, my eyes, between my toes, behind my ears, my neck, my back. Come on, wash it. Jesus said, no. Check this out. You know what's good enough for you, Peter? My example of serving you. That's good enough. And if you really want to get this lesson of sifting, serve your brothers. How many of us in here really think more about serving others than we think about wanting to get served? How many of us get upset because we got so many people that won't allow us to serve them? You try and you try and you try, and they just out-serving you. Before you get there, they're serving you, and you just get mad about it. Would that be a how? What kind of house would that be? If everybody in the house is out serving one another. You go in to do the dishes and they're already done. I can't hear you. See, I understand a little bit now, man. You cook. You know, you would like someone else to wash the dishes. Oh, I heard an amen from a sister over there. And she raised her hand. You know it's bad when a sister raises a hand like this, but when she said, oh. Yeah, you know, a good cook just washes as they go along. Can I have an amen? Because you know you're not going to get help. I don't know. I don't like this doctrine of this sifting stuff. It gets personal when you start talking about God saying you need to get sifted. I can't wait to get to heaven, and I'm sure it's going to take about 12, 15,000 years before I look for Job, because I'm going to be looking at Jesus most of the time. Can I have an amen, you know? My eyes are going to be on Jesus, but I'm going to get a little break, and I'm going to find Job and say, hey, Job, what was it like when Jesus brought your name up the second time? You know, Satan wasn't even thinking about Job. He had tried him. God hadn't given him the permission. Couldn't get to him. And Jesus says, have you considered my servant Job? So, oh, yeah, I consider him. You got a hedge around him. Okay, you can do anything you want to him with his possessions. Anything you want, just don't touch him. Satan said, all right, that sounds good. So he went sifting. He sifted everything out of Job's life except his health and family. Then he comes back and Jesus brings Job's name up again. Now, if you was Job, would you try to intervene on that second conversation? Would you just?
Just a little pop.
Could you leave me out of this one, please? He said, oh, yeah, he's trusting you because he's got his health. God said, you can do anything you want to him except kill him. Folks, this is God. You can do anything you want to him except kill him. Now, by the time Satan can get through with you, sifting you, you think the best thing he can do is kill you. You ever been in a situation? Most of us in here in America have been in a situation where we think death would be better than where I am. Most of the time, it's because we're depressed. We're not in a bad situation. We just get depressed. But that situation where you literally can be so bad that you think the best thing you can do is just die. You can do anything you want to him. You just can't kill him. And then all the great Christian support that Job had. What was it? Bildad, the Shuhite, and two others, right? Bildad the Shuhite, he's real short. Yeah, sure. What? You never saw that in the Bible? Okay. How many days did they sit and just look at him? Was it 7 days? I mean, did anyone know? They just came and just sit there and just looked at him. I mean, when I think about 7 days, I could be wrong, but just, how would you like to have friends come and just sit and look at you? And know that God is allowing this because it's part of the sifting program. See, people that's not here, they're going to see all this quiet on the tape and they're going to wonder what's going on. I want to ask you, does Satan have more influence when you change your mind than Jesus? Does being sifted has more on you changing your mind than just being obedient to God and the Word? Peter, my boy, he had a problem, didn't he? And then when the three friends started speaking, it was better that they would have just stayed quiet. You are a sinner. You're doing wrong. God don't punish the righteous. Man, is that bad theology? He doesn't punish the righteous. He allows you to go through sifting. But sometimes, I don't know about you, it's hard to distinguish between sifting and punishment. I'm getting no smile, so I need to get through with this sermon pretty quick. Is it hard? That hard? Sherman, is this sermon that hard, bro? No, okay, I feel good then. Look at verse 10. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not except to wash his feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was seated again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you. Folks, I want to say, did you notice that Judas was there the whole time Jesus was washing their feet? Do you know that Jesus washed Judas' feet? Greatest example of giving him an opportunity to repent. Do you know that Jesus gave Judas the honor seat at the dinner? How many of you know that? Judas had the honor seat at the dinner. John was on the left side of Jesus, the beloved apostle. We're going to read that. You know, John don't call himself, and I was there, or I did this. He goes, and the disciple Jesus loved. A little braggadocious. He honored Judas to the last moment before he walked out and betrayed him. Anyone know what the honor seat at the dinner is? On the right-hand side of the guest of honor. Because they would lean, recline at dinner, and the honor, the guest of honor, would lean his head in the bosom of the person to his right. And that's what Jesus was doing with Judas. If God honors you and I, does that make us feel honored, or does that make us want more? Oh, well. You guys just looking at me like I'm strange. So I just keep on reading. Verse 13. You call me master and Lord? You say, well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And this arguing over who's going to be the greatest in here tonight, especially of all nights, should not take place. This is what's going on in that upper room right now. Verily, verily, verse 16, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Question for you. According to this verse, is it enough to know what the truth is? If you know you should forgive your brother, that's a good thing. But if you don't forgive your brother, so you're not going to be happy. If you know you should forgive your sister. And ladies, let me throw something at you. Okay? This comes from not me knowing women. I don't. It comes from years of watching women. You know how hard it is for a woman to forgive? Now, a guy forgive because he can't remember. It's the truth. We'll go, what was I mad about? But a woman, I'm saying straight to you, girls, you know why it's so hard for you to forgive? Because you want the person that wants forgiveness to feel everything you felt. Until you feel that they really have felt what you felt, it's hard for you to forgive. And so you wanting forgiveness at times turns into a little vengeance because you don't think they've suffered the way you have suffered. So get it right with your hearts, girls. Get it right with your heart. And we guys just continue to be dumb. Run to the garage when we need a break. Simplicity it is and can be a blessing. But happy is the person that knows and does it. That's why Peter, I believe, changed his mind about getting his feet washed. I hope there's no one in here. You guys gonna close, Mikey? I hope there's no one in here that's holding on to some hurt because you don't feel like you've been served. Don't feel like you've been honored enough. Respected enough. Appreciated enough. Because if you're holding on, it hurts no one but you. No one's going to lose more sleep over it than you. I was one more prejudiced person when I was growing up. Prejudice. Towards whites. You know how many white people lost sleep over me hating them? Honest. Hey, most white people didn't even know. I hated them. Boy, did they eat me up. So if you're holding on, you're just hurting yourself. And you ought to be smart enough to quit hurting yourself. Amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.